Soon, all Australian teachers will be able to include Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander perspectives in their classes across all learning areas. They'll have resources developed under a federal government-funded program called the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Curricula Project. The Foundation Chair of Indigenous Studies at the University of Melbourne, Professor Marcia Langton, has been developing some of these teaching resources, and she joins us on Drive. Marcia, welcome.
Hello, Patricia. Thank you.
How much of an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander perspective are students getting currently in our schools?
Well, it's very random. Some teachers are very keen on doing it, and we've winkled a few out of a few education systems by speaking at conferences, by organising with the staff in the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, consultations with teachers in focus groups. And there's a tremendous keenness, I would say, amongst a minority to include Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander histories and cultures in their teaching. It's just a bit difficult to do, and I'll explain why.
Well, why? Okay, why is it difficult? Because I actually agree with you. I mean, I'm saying this very anecdotally as a parent of two school-age girls. I see some teachers just so keen and trying to really insert this into the classrooms, and others who just don't have the tools. It's a real dilemma.
Yeah. Well, one is they're so overworked and they have to look for the materials. So that there's a Commonwealth Education Department online service called Skoodle, and the teachers have to log in and then click through the links to find a resource. But once they find one, it may not be in their library. It might cost, I've seen lots of these resources. They cost $800. They might cost $2,000. They might cost $2,500. If their school doesn't have it, will their school get it? They're doing their homework, in the same week as they're teaching, and they can't get the resource into the school. So there's all those practical problems. The other thing is, how do they know if these resources are good? And by good, I mean of sufficient quality to be used for the achievement level required of the subject at the year level. Do Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people approve of it? Has it been written by Indigenous people? Has it been written by non-Indigenous people? They have no way of answering those questions by themselves, and there is nobody to answer those questions for them.
Your new curricula project, which year levels is it aimed at?
Well, it started out just a couple of levels, and then it changed, and then it changed again, and then it changed again. Anyway, I think we've got to the bottom of it. The Australian curriculum framework is quite complicated, and I have a lot of sympathy for what teachers face in finding materials for the classroom now. So what we've done is use three themes to convey Indigenous knowledge for teachers, and we've developed the resources so that the teachers can just download the resource. There are clickable links. All of our resources are freely available online. We have teacher summaries and so on, and we've organised them under the three themes of astronomy, fire and water. And that is a very neat way of compartmentalising Indigenous knowledge so that teachers in any of the seven or eight subject areas, English, mathematics, science, the social sciences, technologies and so on, can have a look to see what we've developed. So we might have developed something in, say, grade 5 or 6 or 7, or maybe for high school, maybe in grade 8 or 9, or 10. It depends on where the content fits into the subjects that are all, cleverly articulated through the curriculum. So you'll find the right geography subject for grade 7, but there's nothing for grade 8. Or you'll find the right English subject where this material would fit in grade 5, but not in any other grade, you see?
Yeah.
So we've had a team, wonderful, wonderful team of people figuring out, putting together our resources into what is essentially a big crossword puzzle by following the Australian curriculum requirements and working with, basically Indigenous knowledge scientists, artists, teachers, to make it all fit together.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go next, and you've kind of gone there, if we can expand a bit on that, the idea of how you develop it. Obviously, you know, you're an expert in many areas, but you need extra help to really try and develop these very intricate areas, fire, water, astronomy. How did you actually get to develop how to do it and make it accessible to students?
Yeah, so, well, you know, in my early academic career in the Northern Territory, I did a lot of work on Aboriginal fire management, and I published a little book called Burning Questions, which is still used today by the United Nations University, for instance. And I wrote several other academic pieces on it as well. And then, you know, subsequently there became a huge interest in this area. I was relying on the science at the time. There's so much more now. And now you have these wonderful collaborations of scientists and Aboriginal traditional owners who work together to figure out, well, on the scientist part, they're trying to figure out what Aboriginal people know and how they're burning and why and when and in what conditions. And Aboriginal people, on the other hand, recognise that, well, yeah, the climate's changed, the landscape's changed, and so they want to make an adjustment and they want to know what scientists know as well. So there are incredible projects. For instance, a good example are the carbon abatement and carbon trading projects that are based in range Aboriginal ranger programs. They started in Arnhem Land about 25 years ago, and now there's an actual Aboriginal carbon trading company. So wherever there are rangers who know those ancient traditions of burning the country, and you know there's 126 ranger groups in Australia now, funded by the federal government under the Caring for Country program, and many of them burn the country the traditional way, and many of them are actually working with scientists and with their local firefighters, and they'll have, you know, a firefighting open day where everybody gets together. And they're documenting all of this knowledge. And so it's an incredible mixture of Indigenous knowledge, scientific knowledge, and just regular local knowledge. You have to know your local area.
Yeah, that's right.
So we've developed the resources, the subjects. So say in science, there's a one. We had some fabulous people helping us with this. I don't know if you've heard of Brad Mogridge. He's a scientist in Canberra, an Aboriginal scientist. So ash is, you know, a byproduct of burning country.
Mm. So you've got these areas: astronomy, fire, and water. I understand that. That astronomy is ready now for discussion and then fire and water to be released later this year too. Do you think there's room or scope in the future for other areas of development as well?
I do. So, yeah, the astronomy curriculum can be downloaded from the website at indigenous.gov.au. Go across the top to teacher guides and it's there. It's called the Curricula Project. And you can download the astronomy curriculum that we've developed. Fire and water should be up this month, I think. What I've done is chosen those three areas for a very simple reason, that most teachers feel very uncomfortable, I would even say frightened, of teaching Aboriginal history. Because, especially in primary school, you don't want to upset children with, you know, the actual facts of what happened in the 18th and 19th and early 20th century to Aboriginal people. It's pretty brutal stuff to teach to children.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I as mothers wouldn't want to do it. In high school, I think there are probably ways to do it without traumatising the children. But I've avoided that very difficult subject because it's most important, I think, to put Indigenous knowledge into the curriculum now. And the best way to do that is by using Indigenous knowledge, which is largely non-contentious amongst people who are educated and done some science. Indigenous knowledge is very well documented, and I've only described the documentation with water, but let me just say a few things about astronomy. One of the bureaucrats in the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet said, this is all sounding like astrology. Let me assure you it is not. We've had the wonderful Dr. Dwayne Hamaka, who's an astronomer, originally I think from Missouri or Illinois in the United States, and he is at Monash University at the moment, and he works with a network of astronomers and astrophysicists, including Indigenous astronomers and astrophysicists. There are at least six of them, and they also work with elders and knowledgeable people from local communities who've inherited the Indigenous astronomical knowledge. So they've published papers in the major astronomy journals on, for instance, Indigenous knowledge of the moon and the tides, Aboriginal knowledge of the variability of Betelgeuse, Aboriginal knowledge of particular constellations. And there are peculiar Aboriginal constellations, very different from the European constellations that were brought here with the European knowledge. So the emu and the star maps, very different from European astronomy. But the star maps, for instance, are memory aids for travelling across land or sea, and they're memory joggers and wayfinders. And they've documented all of this and published it. So, you know,
this is about getting
much
it
to argue with there.
No. It's not contested. It's about getting it into the schools.
And it's about getting it into the schools. I would love to have a go at getting, well, particularly more about Aboriginal literature, Aboriginal history, and very much localise it. So, you know, if you go out into some parts of the country, people say, oh, no, there were never any Aborigines here. But of course they were. Mm. There were, but they were all wiped out sometime in the 19th century or removed to remote reserves. White people have no knowledge of where they live and who lived there before them. So one of the things I say to people when they say, well, why should we have this in the Australian curriculum? Why don't we just have the curriculum that we've always had? I'm going to say, well, you know, your curriculum teaches you that Australia's 240-something years old, but actually Australia, human history is 65,000 years old. And if you don't know anything about the Australia that's 65,000 years old, you don't really know your own country. And why wouldn't you want to be able to know about your own country and say to the rest of the world, our country is 65,000 years old in terms of human history, and know something about that and know what the relevance of that is to the way that you live today. Most people don't know, for instance, that the way that the forests and the grasslands should look, the healthiest state, was achieved by Aboriginal fire management over tens of thousands of years.
Well, Marcia, we're running out of time, but I'm going to let everyone know what the link is. I've had a look at it, and I'm very impressed by it. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Patricia.
That's Professor Marcia Langton. She's the chair of the Curricula Project, and that link is www.indigenous.gov.au/teaching/guides/curricula project.